This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Smokey Jennings Chevrolet is making it exciting and easy to buy a new car or truck with Chevy's Total Confidence pricing. No need to negotiate because all new 2012 Chevy vehicles have the low price tag on them. Plus, with Chevy's Love It or Return It guarantee, if you don't love it, you can return it. Going on now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra. Tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment. Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
And in our farm news today, the overnight crude oil market, 28 cents higher at $88.34. The Brent crude, 75 cents higher at $104.67. The December gold contract, $3.30 higher at $1,617.90. The U.S. dollar index, 0.122 lower at 82.572. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, September wheat trading at 868.5. That's down 19.75. December wheat trading at 882.5, down 20. September corn trading at 795.5, down 11. December corn trading at 794.25, down 11. August soybeans trading at 1702.75, down 10.25. And September beans trading at 1642.75, that's down 14. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 888.25, down 26.25. December wheat closed at 902.5, down 24.75. March wheat closed at 904.25, down 22.25. September corn yesterday closed at 806.5, down 13.5. December corn closed at 805.25, down 8.75. March corn closed at 801.25, down 5.25. August soybeans yesterday closed at 1721, down 4.75. September beans closed at 1656.75, down 10.5. November beans closed at 1641, down 2.5. August soybean meal yesterday closed at 544.70, down 16. September meal closed at 515.70, down 23. October meal closed at 501.10, that was down a dime. August soybean oil yesterday closed at 52.55, down 2. September oil closed at 52.78, up a penny. And October oil, 52.99, up 2 cents. September oats yesterday closed at 380.25, down 4. December oats closed at 382.75, and that was down a nickel. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended lower on Tuesday afternoon. Technical trading at the Board of Trade weakened grain futures. In yesterday's weekly crop progress report, the USDA placed 5% of the Illinois corn crop in good condition, with 24% rated fair and 71% rated very poor to poor. The Illinois soybean crop placed 9% in the good range, with 35% fair and 56% in the very poor to poor category. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 7 to 13 cents lower at 786 to 811, and soybeans dropped 13 to 15 cents at 1711 to 1729. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 13 to 14 lower at 810 to 827, soybeans mostly 5 to 10 cents weaker at 1719 to 1741, and the wheat bids down 26 to 27 cents at 863 to 871. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 13 to 18 cents, ranging from 801 to 842. Soybean bids mostly 10 to 13 lower at 1721 to 1737, and the wheat bids mostly 26 to 27 lower at 857 to 888. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 13 cents lower at 810 to 816. Soybeans fell 18 to 20 cents at 1731 to 1747, and wheat prices down 26 cents at 836 to 849. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 15 to 16 cents lower at 822 to 824. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 6 to 12 cents, with quotations at 1759 to 1762. Soft red winter wheat fell 26 cents at 858 to 859, and Milo down 9 cents at 754 to 755. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from 767 to 784, with new crop soybean bids at 1606 to 1620. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 780 up to 817, with new crop soybean bids at 1605 to 1626. In southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 788 to 818, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from 1619 to 1641. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, August hogs closed at 92.95, down 160. October hogs closed at 80.30, down 167. December hogs closed at 78.02, down 197. August cattle yesterday closed at 118.87, down 77. October cattle closed at 124.40, down 142. December cattle closed at 127.47, down 117. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 138.62, up 37. September feeders closed at 140.37, up 30. October feeders closed at 141.82, up 32. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, July 31st. For the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, barrels and gilts closed 22 cents lower. Carcass-based price range, 84.32 to 91, with a weighted average of 85. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 13,800. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade was steady at 54 to 60, with Illinois direct slaughter sales 1 to 3 lower. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds traded from 23 to 27, 450 to 550 pounds at 24 to 29, over 550 pounds at 27 to 30. Today's estimated receipts 1,650 and Monday's actuals 1,350. Pork carcass cutout 91.91, which was unchanged. Estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs for today and last week both 402,000, a year ago 405,000, week to date of 806,000. Cattle for today, 126,000. Last week, 127,000. A year ago, 129,000. Week to date of 248,000. Box beef cutout values were steady to firm on light to moderate demand and offerings. Total movement today, 152 fabulos with 50 trim. Choice at 177.82, that is up 20 cents. Select at 171.09, and that is up 31 cents. Opening report for the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville. Estimated receipts of 533. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and Holstein steers were trading steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 111 to 115 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 102.75 to 105.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 111 to 115.75. Monday at the Arthur Hay Auction, 2,110 bells sold. Compared to last week, small squares of hay traded mostly a dollar to two and a half lower, with wheat straw steady. Alfalfa, premium quality small square, sold from $7 to 10 and a quarter. Good quality at 5 and a quarter to 6.75. Large squares, 3x3s, at 82.5 to 90. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, premium quality small squares, 7.5 to 10 and a quarter. With alfalfa mixed grass, good quality small squares at $7. Mixed grass, good quality small squares from 5.75 to 7.5. Large squares, 3x3s, at 75 to 80. Large rounds, 5x6s, at 80 to 105. At the United Producers Hay Auction on this morning, 254 bells sold. Compared to last week, hay sold mostly a dollar higher. All prices for small squares on a per bale basis. Alfalfa premium quality $10. Alfalfa orchard grass mix good quality $12. And mixed grass good quality from $6.75 to $7.10. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 164 and a half down a quarter. For block cheese, 170 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 168 and a half unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 1667. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, $8.28. For August, $7.94. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, $8.20. For August, $7.94. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for July, $17.14. For August, $16.40. Wheat delivered to Scottville for July is $8.22. For more information or to confirm the bid, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices, once again, corn at Greenfield, $8.28. Corn at Scottville, $8.20. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $17.14. Wheat at Scottville, $8.22. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies, hot and humid today. The high will be in the mid-90s with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy, continued hot, high temperatures in the upper 90s. And your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on Saturday. Low temperatures in the mid-80s, high temperatures in the mid-90s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady. Our temperature 66 degrees under mostly clear skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The 2012 Bond County Fair at the Bond County Fairgrounds in Greenville, August 2nd through the 7th. WSMI coverage of the 2012 Bond County Fair is brought to you in part by Dom Crop Insurance in Greenville, Dawn's Lawn and Saw in Greenville, Kenneth D. Myers Electrical Service and Emergency Service in Greenville, Elliott Truck and Tire Service in Pocahontas, and by Schuster Repair in Pocahontas.
And part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, coming up Thursday evening at 6, the Montgomery County Young Leaders Plot Tour will be held at the Carl Martin Farm. north of the Raymond exit off I-55 on the West Frontage Road. We talked to Matt Stolte of the Montgomery County Young Leaders, and he describes the tour.
Well, we're going to start off with a light dinner, and then we are going to take basically a ride to the plots. There is going to be several reps there in attendance, so farmers can ask them questions, and we'll be able to take a look at their hybrids and varieties and go through and see what to expect for maybe this fall with these hybrids and to see the hybrids that are going to be coming out for next year as well.
And I wonder about the seed availability for next year, too. Well, I imagine they'll have the answers to some of those questions, too, we hope.
Yeah, that seems to be a major question right now with some of the growers is what is the seed availability going to be like for right now? And a lot of the companies are trying to get that figured out, whether they're going to ramp up winter production. A lot of the companies might even have a lot of it grown underneath irrigation right now. I have heard of a few situations, but it's kind of early. They're just getting ready to start seed production right now for harvest. So a lot of that news will be breaking here in the next month of what hybrids are going to be short here and there and which ones are going to be in good supply.
Matt, will they have information about wheat seed if some producers are interested?
If some guys are interested, I'm sure several companies will have some information there on wheat availability, and I know that's going to be a pretty hot topic with the guys to the south not having actually a crop for corn or soybeans this year, trying to get something out there to basically get some money in their pocket come early spring.
And Matt also described the plots themselves.
Right now, just to kind of tell you about the corn plot, it was planted on April 10th, around 35,000 30-inch rows. The check for this year's corn plot was Micogen 2V707 Smart Stack. We have 15 companies that are representing the plot this year with a total of 30 hybrids for the corn. On the soybean side, the plot is going to be actually located just north of Carl's house, about a quarter of a mile, and it was planted on May 11th, around 150,000 in 30-inch rows. And Pioneer 93Y82s is the check for this year's soybean plot. There was 11 companies that are involved with 22 varieties. So that's kind of what we're looking at for this year's plots.
Okay, and this all starts Thursday evening at 6.
Thursday evening at 6. It was also in the paper, I believe, Monday and last week. So if you want to check that out, you can. Anybody is more than welcome to come and have some dinner with us and enjoy the plots, and hopefully it'll be a nice, cool evening.
Wouldn't count on that, but anyway, once again, tomorrow evening at 6 at the Carl Martin Farm west of Raymond. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. We went over what has been happening in the corn markets over the past few weeks.
Yeah, lots happened. You know, we've continued to see crop deterioration, hot temperatures, no rainfall. Had a few bouts of relief across some of the central Corn Belt parts of Iowa, but the rains were very disappointing, and that's even within the last week or so. And, you know, at a certain point here, it's just going to be, you know, too little too late for the corn. It's already that way in many areas, especially southern Illinois, Indiana, dryland areas out in the western Corn Belt, Nebraska, Missouri, of course, in some trouble as well. And now much of the focus is going to turn to the bean crop because there is a little bit of time for these beans to potentially prevent some yield loss if we get the rains. But right now the forecast looks hot and dry, and even some of the chances for some scattered showers just, you know, they haven't come to fruition, and it doesn't look like it's going to provide much relief even if they do at this point. So declining yield estimates, we'll get some more private estimates out this week. FC Stone's going to release some of their estimates on Wednesday, and Foreman's going to be out Friday, and those are ahead of the USDA numbers that we'll get next Friday on the 10th. That's our next supply and demand report, so we'll be looking for the market to position ahead of that. But now that we're through this $8 mark on December corn, maybe we run back and test that area again. But these closes above there, I think a lot of people are surprised by that, thinking the $8 mark might hold it. But at this point now you're going to have potential buying from end users or some panic buying from some of the short positions at the Board of Trade. So a lot can still happen here. We did see good excellent readings down 2%, both the corn and beans again yesterday. But the debate is going to be on how bad this stuff really is. We've seen estimates on the corn as low as 117, 118. Would not be surprised to see those numbers come true. Potentially even lower than that. And also something we got to consider is the fact that our harvested acres are going to be down a lot. A lot of people are chopping their corn up or mowing it down, and that means they're not going to harvest it, and in turn not going to get the bushels.
Another thing it might be a factor I'd like to ask you about. Late last week, some of the livestock producers are asking for a relaxation in the renewable fuel standards. Now, is that going to pump a little, if it is approved, will that pump a little more corn in the pipeline to kind of lower these prices and maybe give some relief to livestock feeders?
Well, it certainly would. The question would be how much would they, really relax that? And the Livestock Poultry Association has petitioned, but a petition is just that in itself. It doesn't necessarily mean anything is going to be done. They have to be able to prove beyond reasonable doubt that significant economic damage has occurred, and I just don't think that's going to happen at $8 corn net. Now, whether or not the government would be to step in at $9 corn or $10 corn or what it's going to take is beyond me. I'm not going to be in charge of that, but unless we just get a stroke of a pen from the Oval Office, that's not likely to happen, and you're not likely to get those bushels at least anytime soon. Could it happen down the road? Absolutely, but I just don't see that happening here in the near term, and even if that was to be seen as something that's possible, there's a lot of due process and checks and balances that have to occur before anything can be done.
Also, a lot of the large livestock producers like Smithfield and Tyson and that, they're talking about importing corn from South America.
Well, that's right, and that's definitely something that could occur if they can get it to, from a cheaper destination. I mean, that's how rationing happens. If you got grain in certain areas of the world, it happens every day, regardless of where we're at. And in this case, it's happening in the U.S., so definitely something that can happen, but are they going to get some relief from the government? It's anyone's guess at this point. I guess I wouldn't hold a lot of stock in getting a lot of help from the government. That's almost like saying that a farmer that didn't sell $7 corn and sold it at $3 instead should be given something instead of the livestock producers. They have the ability to hedge their needs off. They can buy the market just like anybody else and hedge themselves off to the upside. So a lot of people argue why should they get that benefit of having basically some form of a government bailout in their sense just so they can get some cheaper feed.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. Recently, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to area producer Kyle Brazzi of Madison County, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Today, we continue a discussion with Kyle Brazzi, Madison County farmer, Pioneer seed rep. Kyle also wears a couple of other hats. He is a representative of Shipman Elevator Company in that area, and his family has a dairy, so he has a perspective on the livestock side of things. We followed up first on the drought's impact, and we're already looking about, of course, and concerns out there for 2013 seed corn supplies.
It's going to be a tough year when we have this severe of a drought over this large of an area. From a seed production standpoint, that's a tough thing to deal with. Now, a lot of our acres, especially with Pioneer that I deal with, the hybrids, a lot of those are under irrigation, and that helps. But these really high temperatures still take a hurt on that. So it will be a little bit of a challenge, and it's just too early for me to say exactly where we think that's going to end up. I'm very happy when we were at a meeting the other day talking about some kickoff opportunities for 2013 sales. We were looking at the pipeline and how much risk factor we have built into a lot of those hybrids. And I still feel like Pioneer as a company will be in really good shape with coming up with those products.
We were talking earlier also about what this drought has done to, I guess, the general population. And you said you got a call from a television station. It's almost as if in situations like this, folks actually start to remember where their food is coming from.
It does all of a sudden raise the interest level, I guess, with the consumer when they think about what it's going to do to them and the food costs. And the reality is that it will raise them, definitely. So corn is the staple for everything that we're doing here. And we think about dairy and where that's going to go. When we have these hot temperatures, prolonged drought like this, and prolonged heat, our dairy herd drops off pretty quick. We can lose 30% production really fast. That will definitely reflect in the consumer very quickly. The beef market right now, I think, is going to be a little bit of a lull just because everyone will sell as many cows as they can sell. But then I would say 6 months to a year from now, we know that market will be way up then. So when we go from kind of just having a bad year into this disaster mode, we deplete our markets. And it's a 2 or 3 year process, in my opinion, to get that all back up to speed again where it needs to be. And that's where the consumer, I think, will take that hit.
A very long tail indeed, and I guess we'll wrap up with where you're at today, Shipman Elevator. You guys have a tremendous team there and always look to the positive in the future. What are you guys thinking and how are you meeting and dealing with the challenges of this drought?
Oh, we know that on our producers. So from a Shipman Elevator standpoint, we're spending some time making sure that we have some new I don't want to say unconventional, but extra financing sources available to help these producers understand and be able to go into the next year, because it's going to take a lot of money to go through some of these cycles before some insurance payments and things kick in. Also trying to help them understand the herbicide carryover piece and crop nutrient use. So what we believe is out of the crops, what we need to do to make sure we have a good crop next year, and spending our time on a case-by-case, field-by-field basis with every grower that'll give us that opportunity.
Do you guys, and I guess we'll close with this, do you have any field days planned? Are you still keeping the dates for those, and what are the thoughts there?
You know, it's a tough year to make a lot of decisions based off of what we're seeing in the fields. We are having our plot tour. It's really just in our seed warehouse at Brazee Farms on the 13th. That's a Monday night at 5:30, and would welcome anybody to come down to that. And we have our agronomy trials and things that we put out, and I'm not sure what we'll learn from those, but we'll discuss everything that we were trying and why we're trying those different practices and what we're learning. From a corn hybrid standpoint, there's a few things that pop out from Pioneer when we look at hybrids with the Aquamax trait that can deal with less water and longer prolonged temperatures. We think that they're better, they look better, but we won't know for sure how well they're going to do. In some areas, we had virtually no rain or, say, a half an inch since the middle of May. No hybrid can learn from that, and I wouldn't recommend anybody try and make real decisions based off of what they're seeing in those this year. It just wouldn't be sound agronomically for me to say that to anyone.
Madison County's Kyle Brazee. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
This week, a delegation of U.S. soybean farmers is in China to commemorate a 30-year partnership that has led to China becoming the top export market for U.S. beans. To recognize the milestone, the United States has organized a soy industry summit and celebration that will bring in nearly 500 of China's top ag industry and government leaders. United Soybean Board Chair Vanessa Kummer says they're here not just to thank the Chinese government for their business.
We're celebrating the fact that we not only deliver our soybeans to China, but we also deliver the technical expertise and assistance to allow them to build a sustainable food production industry for poultry, pork, and an ever-growing aquaculture industry. So in effect, we are partners with them when it comes to their food security and food safety needs.
Ms. Kummer says China buys about 1.6 billion bushel of U.S. soybeans annually and has recently ramped up their tenders due to concerns about tight supply tied to the 2012 drought.
The response we need to give them is that the U.S. is a reliable supplier of soy, and we export over half of the soy that we produce in the U.S. This year, of course, the drought is worse and the worst it's been in over 20 years, but because we have such a diverse growing region and a large growing region, not all of our areas are affected by that drought. And so we will have reduced amount of soy this year than what we had expected, but we'll still have overall a pretty good crop.
Ms. Kummer says they're assuring the Chinese that the crop looks good in the northern and southern growing areas, and there's still time for August rains to help some of those remaining acres. The Illinois Department of Agriculture has announced winners of the July 10th Commodity Board elections. Elected to the Illinois Corn Marketing Board are Lou Lamoureux of Lanark, Paul Jeske of Maison, Kent Kleinschmidt of Emden, and Larry Hayscheider of Oakville. Elected to the Sheep and Wool Marketing Board are Harold Davis of Odell and Lance Steckel of Winchester. Elected to the Soybean Program Operating Board are Dwayne Dahlman of Marengo, Jared Hooker of Clinton, Wendell Lutz of Dewey, Donald Ginnup of Marshall, Timothy Skates of Carmi, and David Droste of Nashville. All will serve three-year terms. Agriculture Department Acting Director Bob Flyder says it's an honor to serve on these boards. They will decide which industry promotions and research projects get funded by checkoff dollars, which are assessments on sales. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 865. That's down 23 and a quarter. December wheat trading at 879 and three quarter, down 22 and three quarter. September corn trading at 7.93 and three quarter, down 12 and three quarter. December corn trading at 7.92 and a half, down 12 and three quarter. August soybeans trading at 16.98 and a quarter, down 22 and three quarter. September beans now trading at 16.38 and a quarter, down 18.5. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. That's all for part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.